You're listening to KZSC Santa Cruz, 88.1 FM, kzsc.org, broadcasting from the University of California at Santa Cruz. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is Transformation Highway. In 2017, an AR-15 military-style assault rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department. The gun remains missing today, and both the former and current police chiefs of Santa Cruz chose not to make the theft public. My three-part article about lost and stolen Santa Cruz Police Department guns was published in the Santa Cruz Sentinel on February 11, 2021, and is available online. My research also uncovered another stolen Santa Cruz police gun, a Glock handgun that went missing in 2011. In recent weeks, you've heard interviews about the stolen AR-15 with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills and Lieutenant Arnold Vasquez. Here is a quick excerpt from my interview with Santa Cruz Police Chief Andy Mills on the stolen AR-15 assault rifle.
A couple years ago, a firearm was stolen from one of our vehicles and has not been recovered. And this unfortunately does happen when people leave firearms in vehicles, and it shouldn't. And that was fully investigated, and appropriate discipline was given.
Can you tell me a little about the circumstances where it was stolen and what kind of gun it was?
Well, that happened before I got here, so I have read the investigation, but it was numerous years ago that I read it, and it was a assault rifle, and it was, we don't know where it was stolen.
Do you have concerns? I mean, what are your greatest concerns about there being a police weapon out and about?
Well, obviously, any weapon that is stolen out of a vehicle, regardless if it's a police weapon or a private weapon, I'm very concerned about, because that's going into the hands of someone who's committing a crime. And so when weapons get taken, regardless of the origin of that weapon, is a huge concern, particularly a police weapon, because now a potential adversary has control of one of our weapons, and that is distasteful, it's wrong, and that's why we take strong internal action against those things when they take place.
Santa Cruz Police Department Lieutenant Arnold Vasquez led a three-week investigation into the stolen AR-15 and could not determine where or when the military-style rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department.
At the end of the day, in terms of the investigation, I was unable to verify or have any evidence proving that it was stolen. However, based off of the information that we were able to uncover, it appeared as though it was potentially stolen and likely misappropriated. And so that is exactly how we actually entered it into our database system, primarily because we really didn't have any solid evidence to say that, the firearm itself was stolen from anyone in particular. When we initially began the investigation, we entered it into the system as lost, just to make sure that we had it in there in the event that it surfaced either with another agency or out in the field. We wanted to make sure we had that in there. And then we later modified it to misappropriated, which is actually, a version or form of being stolen.
Here now is an interview about the stolen Santa Cruz Police Department AR-15 with journalist Thomas Peel. Peel wrote a comprehensive article for the San Jose Mercury News on June 26, 2016, revealing that between 2010 and 2016, 944 guns were lost or stolen by law enforcement agents in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. Thomas Peel told KZSC that one of those 944 lost and stolen guns was a Santa Cruz Police Department Glock handgun, stolen from a vehicle in 2011. Here now is an interview with journalist Thomas Peel. I've already done half a dozen interviews about this missing gun, and I just thought I would add in, you know, a little bit of the wider angle on it from you.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, someone came to me and said that they had heard that this AR-15 was stolen from a Santa Cruz police vehicle. And I was trying to get someone else to corroborate that, someone else that had heard about it or knew about it. And in the end, I really couldn't find anyone. I actually did an interview with the police auditor for the city. He learned about the gun being missing from me. So I ended up doing an interview directly with the current police chief, and he was pretty shocked that I knew about this, and he didn't really want to talk about it, but he did enough that he said this AR-15 was stolen. It happened before he was the chief here. He came here 3.5 years ago, so it happened about 4 years ago. And he initially told me he'd give me the report and the investigation, which he said was completed. The chief told me they had disciplined the officer, and he told me he'd give me copies of all that stuff. Now he's saying, and the city attorney are saying, they're not going to give me any of that. So, I mean, I'm moving ahead with the story and getting interviews with people, you know, different perspectives on this gun, and the lack of, you know, half the story is the lack of transparency here and accountability.
Sure.
So, I mean, one thing, you know, to have the wider angle lens on this, if you could describe, kind of summarize what you discovered in terms of the problem of lost and stolen law enforcement guns.
Well, I got interested in this in 2016 when there was a pretty widely known shooting in San Francisco and a fatal shooting that involved a woman named Kate Steinle and an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. And it was made public fairly quickly that the gun that was used in that shooting, and it turned out that it was essentially an accident. The gunman was acquitted of homicide. Had been stolen from the car of a Bureau of Land Management ranger who was driving through San Francisco on a vacation with his family and did what a lot of people do who don't really know any better, which is to leave a exposed bag in the back seat of this vehicle. And somebody busted the window and grabbed the bag, and his he had a handgun in the bag, and that was the gun that was eventually used to kill Steinle. The gunman found it wrapped in a cloth on a pier off the Embarcadero, and picked it up, and it went off, and the bullet ricocheted off the pier deck and hit Miss Steinle in the back and killed her. Then a couple of months later, there was a shooting in Oakland, a street dispute between an artist who was painting a mural under an underpass. A guy walked by, they had words, the guy walked by, pulled out a gun, and shot him. He got arrested, and that gun was traced back to having been stolen from a DEA agent's car in San Francisco. Same scenario, bag left exposed, smash and grab, robbery. And that got my interest as an investigative reporter, because because I don't think anything happens in a vacuum with police. And if it's happening to these two federal agents, where else is it happening? And of course, the Steinle case was in 2016, and Trump had just announced his candidacy, and he immediately seized on the undocumented migrant as one of his, you know, key points in railing for the border wall and increased you know, diligence on people coming into the country. So it had some pretty good news angles into it. So in January of 2017, I sent several hundred public records requests to police departments all over the Bay Area and all statewide law enforcement agencies like the, you know, CHP and the Department of Justice and a whole bunch of others that have that employ peace officers like the Bureau of Alcohol Control and places like that. And I asked them for any reports of guns that were either stolen from officers or lost. Because what the experts were telling me is that, you know, police should essentially have a gold standard about knowing how to take care of their and secure their weapons. There's a very high bar there. And I, you know, I didn't know what I was going to find. I was going kind of going off reporters' instinct that there would be some, and I didn't think about how many. You know, surprised in the end about how many we found. There were guns stolen from cops all over the region, most of them from vehicles, leaving guns in bags unattended, or guns stuck behind the seat of a truck, or guns loose in a vehicle. And there were a lot of smash and grabs and guns taken. There were also home burglaries of cops where their service weapons were stolen along with personal weapons, and we included those because, again, I think the public expects the police officer would know how to secure a weapon and understand that a weapon getting out on the street is dangerous and do everything that they could to make sure that it would be very hard to steal those weapons. There was also a number of police departments that simply reported that guns had disappeared, sometimes guns that were in custody. You know, Stockton claimed that Stockton police told me they were closing a police substation and there were double-digit AR-15s or similar weapons in that police station, and they closed it and then did an accounting of those weapons and found 10 or more of them were simply gone, and they didn't know how. Oakland and San Jose had problems where they had a lot of guns that had simply become unaccounted for. And we got to a point where, at the end of the day, we had, you know, 6 months later, we had 944 guns. It's pretty frightening.
It is. It's really surprising when that kind of number is totaled and it gives you a broad view on this.
I will say that that number is just, you know, that's, you know, where we stop. I don't ever, you know, don't in any way consider that number to be complete. I mean, you know, just from the practicality of doing the story, we were trying to peg it to the 1 year anniversary of Ms. Steinle's death. So, you know, I got to early June and had to stop and start writing a story because we wanted to publish it right around the, you know, 1 year after she was killed as kind of a news hook. And I, you know, I'm sure that there were a lot more guns. And this is only from a sampling of police departments and the local police departments in the greater Bay Area. You know, just did not have the resources or the wherewithal to ask every local police department in the state for reports on lost and stolen weapons. I mean, we had, you know, police chiefs who left guns in cars. In fact, there was a police chief in Piedmont in Alameda County who left his gun in his car when he took it home and lived in Danville in Contra Costa County and went out one day and windows broken, guns gone. Turns out that gun was later used in a shooting. There was just, it was pretty amazing, the Blacks' attitude about it that turned itself up again and again.
This is KZSC 88.1 FM. My name is John Malkin, and this is Transformation Highway. You're listening to an interview with journalist Thomas Peel. Peel wrote an article for the San Jose Mercury News on June 26, 2016, revealing that between 2010 and 2016, 944 guns were lost or stolen by law enforcement agents in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. Here again is Thomas Peel. From what I understand from your report and other research, it sounds like the laws are pretty strict about someone, a citizen or a gun seller, if they lose or have a gun stolen, they need to report that pretty quickly. But police are not required to report lost and stolen guns to anyone, are they? It sounds like, from what you're saying, that if it's a department-issued weapon, like this AR-15 in Santa Cruz, if that is stolen, they have to report that to the Santa Cruz Police Department. But I'm wondering, are they required to, is the Santa Cruz Police Department required to report how many guns they have lost or stolen every year to any other government body?
No, I don't know of a central repository for that information at all. I don't believe that one exists. You know, I'm pretty sure they don't have to report it to, or they don't report it to Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which would have, I guess, some ability at the federal level to, to track these things. But, there may well be there is some type of statewide system where they can report to DOJ a weapon that is lost or stolen by serial number in case it's recovered or used in a crime. But it's, that's just the instance that you described, you said the officer was disciplined, and that's, I think, what the public would expect, because, again, the the idea is that police officers should be trained to not leave weapons vulnerable to theft.
Yeah, and
when was that gun, John? When was that gun stolen?
When was it stolen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there, the police chief is not telling me. What I can figure out is that he became police chief here 3.5 years ago. It happened, he once said the months, and then he said the years before he was police chief. So I'm putting it in 2016 or 2017.
Okay. So I filed public records requests in January of 2017 for 5 years of records. So if it was 2017, I wouldn't have picked it up. But, you know, I don't recall it, but my memory is not good on each individual weapon to tell you yes or no whether they told me about it. And I no longer have the data, you know, the spreadsheets that I've built out with information on every gun. Mm-hmm. I wish I could tell you something definitive, but I just can't.
I know. I don't know if the Santa Cruz gun is included in the 944, or maybe it was 945.
It could have been. I'm sure that there are stolen guns that I did not pick up as I got to that number. For instance, San Francisco police, I believe, at the time that I did this, allowed officers to choose their own weapons. And, you know, pretty big police department, and I was pretty confident that, you know, they didn't have a lot to tell me. And most San Francisco cops don't live in the city, so I was certain that there were probably cases where it happened there too, because you look at it and, you know, you see the pattern with departments that issue, and they've got theft problems. And, you know, I'm sure, again, that because some departments allow cops to effectively own their own guns, that number's higher.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even at the state level, there was some really weird stuff. Like, you know, I counted in there a burglary of a, you know, State Department of Fish and Game office, and, you know, it was up in the far northern part of the state, and somebody had simply broken into a skylight and stole a bunch of rifles. They weren't locked up. They were just in a traditional gun case in the office where the, you know, where the headquarters of the Rangers for that district of Fish and Game. And they didn't have a gun safe. They didn't have those guns locked away. It was a relatively easy burglary for the thefts. I mean, for the thieves. Pretty crazy when you stop and think about it.
This is KZSC 88.1 FM. My name is John Malkin, and this is Transformation Highway. You're listening to an interview with journalist Thomas Peel. Peel wrote an article for the San Jose Mercury News on June 26, 2016, revealing that between 2010 and 2016, 944 guns were lost or stolen by law enforcement agents in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. Here again is Thomas Peel. The police chief, when I interviewed him about this, he gave me another little puzzle piece that he said that he had already talked to media about this. There has been no reporting about this, and no one in our community knows about it. By nobody, I mean city council people, the police auditor, you know, it's never been reported in newspapers. He did tell me that he spoke with media, though, and I said, what media? And he said the Bay Area News Group. And I mean, I don't know. You didn't talk to anyone from Santa Cruz when you were.
No, I was just with my partner, Santa Cruz Police Chief. That's great. I did not.
And did you don't know anyone that you work with on the story that talked to someone from Santa Cruz?
I did. I was the only reporter on that. I did all that myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he was sort of trying to say, hey, this is already public, you know, what are you asking me about this for? But at the same time, he was kind of saying, don't ask me about this. This is not even when I was police chief. This is from before I was police chief.
Did you file a public records request for any records about the theft?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they say?
Yeah, the first time they said they had no records. Then shortly after that, they said, oh, we made a mistake. We found records, but you can't have them because of 6254F, which essentially, as far as I understand, that's saying that's because there's an ongoing investigation. Well, either there's an ongoing investigation or what the chief told me is true, which is they did an internal affairs investigation about the stolen AR-15. He said they held an officer responsible. They reprimanded that officer. And during that audio phone interview, the chief said, and I'll send you those reports and the investigation. We'll block out the name of the officer, but you can have that. But after that, he wrote to me and said, oh, I talked to the city attorney and...
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's something, the only way that I could see that there'd be even a crack in the law to get at that would be if the officer was disciplined for lying during the investigation. Then you'd have a dishonesty. If it was found to have committed dishonesty about it, then there could be something releasable under SB 1421, but you know, that's probably a reach. If you only got a reprimand, that's pretty light form of discipline. That probably doesn't involve any dishonesty.
Yeah. Right. One aspect of this, obviously, like I mentioned, is the transparency and accountability. So in Santa Cruz, the people here can't really evaluate how well police are securing their weapons because they don't know that sometimes Santa Cruz police guns have been stolen. They don't know about that. So then they don't know.
Well, if you go back to my story and if you can find, we did put up a kind of a lame database of information about the guns because we ended up getting a lot of serial numbers. I believe that some Santa Cruz police weapons in the period that I examined had been stolen. I remember a couple of handguns, but I don't think, you know, in my mind there was no AR-15 there. But I'm pretty sure that Santa Cruz police had, that at some point in the 5 years that I looked at, Santa Cruz police had release some documents about at least one weapon. And if you can, I don't know if the data is still attached to that story on the Merck's archives or not.
Oh, I didn't see that, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, go back on there and look and see if you can find the database.
Okay. So you're saying that you do remember there were handguns that you became aware of that were stolen from Santa Cruz police?
I'm almost positive.
Wow.
I remember Santa Cruz gave me something. Now, I wish I could tell you more. I had a constituency report, but, under the Public Records Act, you probably have a 5-year retention period. So if you follow the Public Records Act for my request, 2017, and their responses to it, they should still have that. That might be a way for you to get at it.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I would I would suggest that you do that.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. My request was pretty broad when I asked about stolen or missing or lost guns, and it covered that same period. But I'm gonna do what you're suggesting, and I'm gonna look for the database. Hopefully, it's still connected to the article somehow. Are you saying that in the article itself there might be a link that I can click on?
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be. Now, I haven't looked at that story in a while.
Yeah.
But there, we put something up with it, and we thought, well, maybe people, guns have been lost, and, guns might have been stolen, and things like that. And, we might get some hits. We might actually, somebody may have, somebody steals a gun, sells it to a used gun store, and then it gets sold to the general public, and maybe somebody would check it and see if the, check the serial number in the database. And I don't think that, that just didn't get any traction. So kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, wow. If there's other guns that were stolen from Santa Cruz during that time period, that obviously is going to go in my story and will affect this whole story.
Yeah, I would think so.
And
I'm only asking for that. And I'll tell you what, I can't imagine in the middle of my work day, but there may be a chance when I left the newspaper in September, I dumped a load of files, and it would take me some time to look in there to see if the gun data was swept up. And I don't think it does, but let me double check. And that might, and if so, then you have something definitive to go with. But let me take a look just to make sure that it isn't there.
I would be really grateful if you could do that.
Yeah, no, it's not a problem. I mean, this is a, it's a good story, and it's an issue. I mean, that there were, a couple of laws that took effect because of my story, right?
I do know that, yes.
The fact that cops have to be able to lock away a handgun in the trunk, and it put in place a kind of a civil penalty kind of thing, on those, like a citation with a fine for a cop who lets a gun be stolen or has a gun stolen from them, again, based on the premise that they have to do it. You might, for your story, want to talk to Senator Jerry Hill out of San Mateo County, because he picked up on that and ran that bill and got it passed. And he was trying it after the Stiley killing. He looked for little quirky public safety things. And, bill wasn't getting a lot of traction. And then my story, he had hundreds and hundreds of guns gone, and then he got traction, then he got the law passed. And surprisingly, Brown signed it.
It's great. And that's what we hope for in doing writing and journalism. There'll be some effect. That's great.
Yeah,
and I think I will contact the senator.
He would, I'm sure that he would talk to you.
Yeah, good.
He's pretty accessible.
Good. When I talked to the police auditor here, he said, oh, that happened before he was the police auditor. He only became police auditor here a year ago. So kind of like the police chief, like, oh, that's before my time, this gun got stolen. But he said, if that had happened in the last year, there was a potential because of this new law that the officer, depending on the circumstances, the officer could have been charged with a crime.
Yeah, it's not a criminal offense. It's, it's kind of like a traffic ticket with a fine up to $1,000, a citation with a fine up to $1,000. Criminal, but it's not like it's a misdemeanor, or not a felony, and not even a misdemeanor.
That's a little Sad, but better.
Yeah, I know.
Better.
But it's what he'll get past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know how tough it is to get anything passed in California that provides any ability to scrutinize police? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
1421 was great, but, you know, Nancy Skinner came back and tried a bill last year that really would open a lot of records, and, you know, she ended up not getting any traction on it. And I hear she's going to try again. I don't think that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a wider issue, but police have a whole set of rights that are so strong and extensive, it's a little skewed.
It's, frankly, it's draconian. I mean, they've got more, California's got the most stringent police privacy records laws in the country. It's crazy how tough it is to get any information about the conduct of police officers, even with SB 1421 on the books. Because for one thing, it's limited. Some exemptions still apply. And two, the Public Records Act is so lousy that it can take, you know, a year or more to get records, if you can get them at all. I mean, it's just, we have an incredibly weak law in terms of access. When you compare it to other states.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Our police chief here, Andy Mills, like I said, he's been here 3.5 years. He's become really famous for being a great communicator, really accessible. He meets regularly with people of color, activist groups, the ACLU, the NAACP. He's co-sponsored the Martin Luther King Jr. Parade, where the last 3 years the police come wearing uniforms and carrying guns. And he's holding these Zoom community meetings the last 6-9 months. He's started a transparency portal on the website. And, you know, I did this interview with him about the AR-15 having been stolen. I did that interview September 11th, and I'm wondering, he could make that stolen gun public today if he wanted to, or last week, and he's not. My question to you, it's kind of obvious to me, but I'd love to hear you say, what is most important about it being made public when police guns are stolen? And also, I mean, your report really points out that even when police acknowledge that guns are, well, they often don't call it stolen, they might call it missing. That seems like a weird way of dealing with it. And also, you wrote that there's only few cases where there's actual punishment or something happens to the officer. You know, what overall, what's really important about missing, lost, stolen guns being made public to the community?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, a gun being stolen from a police officer says a lot about the culture of a department. They obviously have some level of lax control where, you know, it's not drilled into the heads of all the officers that it's simply an unacceptable scenario. And what the data showed, the data that I collected, showed again and again, is that many of these thefts were preventable if the guns had been properly locked away. I mean, you've got a guy going into a gym and leaving his service weapon in the center console of his car, his personal car. He comes out, the window's broken, and the gun's gone. There was a one that was stolen in Oakland where a cop at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning stopped at Starbucks on his way to work, and he left his duty bag with all his stuff in it on the passenger seat. And he estimated he was in the Starbucks 2 minutes to get a cup of coffee. Comes out, broken window, gun gone. So there's, you know, it seems like for a lot of this, at least for the period that I reported on, that it just wasn't a really stringent idea that the officers were held to a very high standard about securing their firearms at all times. And, you know, this is something that can be fixed. Hillsborough wanted a way to do it. If you look at the video on the story is still up, and I hope it is, you'll see that I interviewed a former FBI agent, Jim Wettick, kind of a known quantity in California because he did some big corruption cases in Sacramento during his career. And he basically said that any police chief could stop this tomorrow by just making it a big issue in the department, that there will be serious disciplinary consequences if the guns were stolen. He said any police chief could just say, this stops now. They have a lot of discretion in the types of discipline that they enforce if a department policy is broken. And you know, having a very stringent policy on the safety and security of the officer's weapons is something that any police department can put in place. I suggest that you ask the Santa Cruz PD, if you have it, for a copy of its operations manual and see exactly what it says about the storage and safekeeping of departmentally issued weapons.
Yeah, I have looked at that, and it is fairly detailed about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have the report on this or all the stolen guns and see if the officers followed the policy.
Yeah, the problem is, I think when you get there is, if they're gonna 5254F you on those reports, you can't really find out.
Listening to an interview with journalist Thomas Peel about lost and stolen law enforcement guns in the San Francisco Bay Area. In 2017, an AR-15 assault rifle was stolen from the Santa Cruz Police Department, and the theft was never made public. The gun remains missing today. For more information about these stolen Santa Cruz Police Department guns, check out the three-part series I had published in the Santa Cruz Sentinel on February 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2021. My name is John Malkin. This is KZSC 88.1 FM, kzsc.org.